Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in South Bend, Indiana, and earned a degree in Spanish from the University of Michigan. In 1978, she became one of the first female TV sports broadcasters in America. For 13 years, she worked for Ford Motor Company and rose to become its Director of North American Communications. Today, she is a public speaker and strategist and author of the recently released book, Powering Up. Her name, Ann Doyle. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760, WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Ann Doyle, who changed the rules of sport journalism. Ann, welcome. An honor to have you.
Well, it's a thrill to be your guest on your 301st show, Jack Krasula.
Thank you. Can we start by talking about your childhood?
Sure.
And your mom and your dad?
I'd love to talk about my mom and dad because I was blessed with a couple of the world's great parents. My father, of course, was well-known in this town as a sports broadcaster, a sports director for WWJ, and play-by-play and color for the University of Michigan football for many, many years. So as you can imagine, he was an incredible mentor to a pioneering TV sports broadcaster in 1978. And it was really my dad who was very important at that time, because I didn't go hunting for that job. But when it was offered to me, he was absolutely very clear that I should take that job and that I also needed to go into those locker rooms. And my mother was a really incredible person and role model too. You know, I'm one of seven children, second oldest of seven children. My mother had her master's degree from Catholic University when she met this handsome lieutenant at down at Notre Dame, who was stationed there during the war, and he didn't tell her until they fell in love that he actually was only a high school graduate. But she married him anyway, despite her parents' objections. And my dad went to college to Notre Dame on the GI Bill. And there was this incredible respect between the two of them for their entire life. And they passed it on to us.
Your mom not only raised seven, she was also a speech and debate instructor at Indiana.
Yeah.
What's the biggest thing, Ann, that your mom taught you? And what's the biggest thing your dad taught you?
You ask great questions, Jack Krasula. My dad had this mantra that he told all of his kids, and it's something that I write about in my book, because I don't know if my dad heard it from somebody else or made it up. I've never heard anybody else talk about it, but I carry it with me and I use it every day. And it's very simple. It's never eliminate yourself. And he basically used to say to us, you know what, if you're not good enough for the team or you're not good enough for the job you want, there's plenty of competition out there. Society will eliminate you. But if you never go for it, you have eliminated yourself, and that's a very big mistake. And my mother, she was the courage. My mother was incredibly courageous, and she had no problem standing up to authority and raising her voice and raising it very effectively. And so we were modeled that kind of a behavior from a very young age.
Vince Doyle, that name was synonymous with sports to Detroiters for several generations. What made your late dad so great?
You're going to get me crying here in a minute. My dad was an incredible father as well as a human being. And you just cannot imagine how meaningful it is to a daughter. In 2011, which is, my dad died in 1990, a couple of decades after your father died, to have people stop you and say, your dad was an incredible man. I loved your dad. He was somebody who, you know, he was very comfortable with people at every level. You know, he took care of the little people as well as very comfortable with power and all of that. And so I don't know what made my dad a great man. Perhaps he had great parents. They were Irish immigrants. But I know that he touched an awful lot of people, and I think a lot of it was perhaps his humility.
Another great man, our own George Blaha, MSU football, Pistons basketball, he played an instrumental role in your career.
George Blaha, it's amazing how life unfolds, isn't it, Jack? When I was graduating from the University of Michigan in 1972, doing an internship at WUOM, my own university's NPR station, the news director literally would not let me step foot into the news department. He specifically said to me, "Don't you walk in here to answer the phone, to drop something on my desk, to read the newswire, because there's no room in a news department for women." And in that era, George Blaha is the one who gave me my very first job. And he and I, of course, are great friends to this day. And he gave me a shot. And he's just another fantastic, important person in my life.
Well, a few years later, you returned the favor with Mary Kramer of Cranes. And she wrote about that just in February, about the help that you gave her. I had asked George Blaha a few years ago to write his philosophy of life. Here's a part of it. I grew up in an idyllic small town in Iowa in the 50s. We didn't see religion and color in our friends. My father taught me that we were Americans, and we believed that all men are created equal. My devout Catholic mother, who gave me incredible moral guidance and moral support over the years, always reminded me that we believed in doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. He lives that as well as writes that.
He absolutely does. And anyone who hasn't met George Blaha, I can tell you he is an incredible, fantastic person.
And Doyle, how was it that WJBK TV hired you to cover sports in 1978?
Well, Mike Von Endy was the news director, and what happened there is I actually was living out in California. I had been doing TV news for about 8 years and went out to California, and I spent a couple of years out there, and I really wanted to come home. So, you know, you send out your videotapes and you send out your resumes, and I sent them to the Detroit stations, and I came home to visit my parents and did the interviews. And Mike Von Endy basically said, "You know, I really like your stuff. I like your tape. And I'd really like to hire you, but I don't have any news jobs right now. And how about doing sports?" Now, Mike Von Endy knew that I was Vince Doyle's daughter, and so he probably had figured that I might know a few things about sports. I was a graduate of the University of Michigan. You know, these are my hometown teams. But he's the one who said to me, "How about doing sports?" And he was putting together something called Five Star Sports at that time, and he had the other four. And I think he was actually thinking about hiring a woman when I walked in there, and I was probably just the perfect person because I had 10 years under my belt and I knew sports.
We're talking Ann Doyle, a change agent and a pioneer for women. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Ann Doyle. And in 1979, she became one of the first female TV sports broadcasters in America. And what was the first professional locker room you ever walked into, and what were your thoughts when you walked through that door?
Well, the very first actually was probably a very good one to have been my first, because it was the Detroit Express, the soccer team. They were playing up at the Pontiac Silverdome. And, you know, the Express were so desperate for anybody to cover them that they really didn't fight me very much. But nonetheless, for me to stand outside that locker room, I will never forget standing there watching the other male reporters go into that locker room and really trying to like swallow hard and force myself to walk in the door. And I will also never forget that as I was standing there, somebody pushed me from behind, and I turned around, and it was Detroit News columnist Jerry Green, and he said to me, "Get going." And the momentum of his push carried me through those doors. And that was, you know, the daughter of Vince Doyle, I mean, how lucky was I to have had a father who could have told me exactly what to expect when I went in that locker room. So I was very, very well prepared. And then after that, you know, some of the other locker rooms were tougher to get into, and we had to fight our way in, and it wasn't particularly welcoming once you got there, but you had to earn your stripes.
What was the toughest door to ever open?
Wow. I'm not even sure how to answer that question, Jack. The toughest door to ever open. I'm going to go somewhere maybe you don't expect. And I've been tested in a lot of leadership laboratories, the auto industry, locker rooms, ran for office last year. But the biggest challenges of my life, and I would say that helped me grow the most, were as a parent. I am I'm a single parent. I went through a divorce, very tough divorce, when my son was very, very young, and then his father died when he was 7. So I very much have raised my son, Kevin, by myself. And, you know, that really smooths off the rough edges. And I'm very thrilled that I'm a mother. I'm very proud of my son. But, hey, that is a leadership laboratory, and it's tough. And some of my, saddest moments about my ability to do well probably were the testing I received as a mother.
Oh, tell us a little bit about what Kevin's doing now, and also talk to the single moms about having tough love.
Yes, Kevin is now 19 years old. He's a freshman at Oakland University. We live just a couple miles north of Oakland University in Auburn Hills, but Kevin lives in the dorms because I think, you know, he doesn't need, as a freshman in college, to be living with his mom. You know, he should be in there with all his roommates and the other students and all that kind of stuff. And so Kevin's a very, very good writer, and who knows, he's talking about journalism, but he's just beginning. In terms of tough love, you know, that's the thing as a single mother where you have to be both the mother and the father. And, you know, when you have two parents, as I was very lucky to have, they can kind of play off one another, and somebody can be the tough cop and somebody the, you know, the soft one at different times maybe. But as a single parent, you have to do both. And that's very, very hard, but I know that the stronger I became and the firmer I became in terms of holding the ground against all the cultural pressure that is out there, the better parent I was.
We're talking to Ann Doyle. Ann, what inspired you to go from the locker room to the boardroom when you joined Ford Motor Company?
That I'm somebody that when I run into barriers, I tend to go around them. And I think if there's one ability that I have is I know when to fold them. I don't like pound my head against a brick wall too long. And basically, I left television in 1984 because after 5 years doing sports in Detroit, the next natural move for me to keep growing was to go to the networks. And the networks were not ready at that time to hire women to truly cover sports as journalism. And so that meant going in another direction. And I had to kind of like step back and say, wow, I'm sure I have some good skills. How else can I use them? And I really thank Ford Motor Company. And David Scott was the person who was vice president of public affairs who hired me. And I remember him saying to me, I said to him, hey, you know what? I really don't know anything about cars. And he said, Ann, we have thousands of people who know about cars. And we need somebody who knows TV news and journalism and those kind of things. And they saw a leader in me, and they gave me great training.
This was in the Free Press in 2006 about you. Quote, in places that reeked of testosterone, Ann Doyle spent years breaking barriers for women and letting in the fresh air. From the locker room to the boardroom, she's a woman working and winning in a man's world. Ann Doyle, what were the biggest differences in breaking into the locker room versus the boardroom?
Well, I think the locker room was tremendous training for me to move into the auto industry, which to this day still has what I call a steel ceiling. And at that time, which was 1987, you know, we were really just beginning to get significant numbers of women into a lot of different non-traditional jobs in the industry. And so I think that, you know, the biggest piece of that is when you are a woman working in predominantly male environments where the rules were written by men, they're intuitive to men, and they have the power, and you have to, you're kind of like the foreign national in a foreign land. You know, being able to kind of understand men and understand how men think and understand how you are, the signals that you're giving to men, I think is very, very important. And I have three brothers. And so growing up with brothers, there is nothing like brothers to prepare you in all those ways. And I think that's one of the biggest things. And also the fact that I knew sports and was able to talk sports, boy, that really was instant credibility and an instant way of connecting with men. That really helped.
Boy, if I knew you back then, if you could get me tickets to the games, man, you were in. You were in. Talk about your 13 years and Doyle at Ford Motor Company.
The first 11 years that I was at Ford Motor Company were some of the most exciting of my professional life. An incredible world-class global corporation, and it was just a very stimulating environment. They kept throwing you into deeper and deeper water, and if you could swim, then they just kept giving you more opportunities. Then we hit some pretty awful years. I was the head of North America Communications for Ford at the time that the Firestone Explorer crisis broke out. You know, that was the whole time when things were unraveling. Jack Nasser was eventually fired. The culture turned into what I would say was a very, very Machiavellian culture. And instead of us being worried about the competition, the best company we could be, it was really turning, you know, you had to protect your back. It was not a good place to be. And that was really why I took an early retirement from Ford. And no one was happier than I was when Bill Ford made the decision to hire Alan Mulally, and that one of the first things Alan Mulally tackled was the culture, and what a job the two of them have done.
You mentioned that you were director of North American Communications for Ford. When you were that, you were the highest ranked woman in global public affairs at the time. So
yes,
you've been successful in a lot of different rooms. We're talking to Ann Doyle, and her new book, Powering Up, has just been released. When we come back, we'll talk about powering up. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Ann Doyle. And in 2007, she was named to the Michigan Journalism Hall of Fame. Quite an honor. And Powering Up, just been released. What's the basic message of that book?
Well, the basic message is the subtitle of the book, which is Powering Up, How America's Women Achievers Become Leaders. And basically, the fact is that in the last three decades or four decades in the United States, we have become a nation of high-achieving women. And there are now three generations of high-achieving women in the workplace. I'm the interlopers. I've given them names. I wrote a chapter about each one. My generation, we were all those pioneers. We're the interlopers. That next wave, which is like the Sandy Pierces, Beth Chappells, the insiders, and then these whole new millennials, I call them the innovators. So you got this gigantic, biggest in the history of the world, cohort of women in the United States workplace. But when it comes to leadership, the top positions, women hold only 18% of the leadership positions in every major work sector. And people are shocked at that because there's this perception that women are already leading, and we absolutely are not. And so what I say, Jack, is that we are leadership underachievers, and it is time for women to power up into leadership. And so the last part of this book, the last third, then are the seven practices that I say is the graduate work, that you're a high-achieving woman, great. Now here's what's next, what you have to master next to become a leader.
And what are those seven practices?
Well, the number one is discover your purpose. You can imagine what that is. I don't know if I have time to go into each one of these, but discover your purpose is the first thing. Next, raise your voice. It's not about finding your voice anymore. It's time to raise it. Next, claim power. Nobody's going to give you power. You have to go after it. Fourth, break the rules. I'm all about breaking the rules, but you have to learn the game before you can start breaking the rules. Next, drink at dangerous waters. That, of course, is about taking risks, but it's also about working with rivals and people who are not like you. The last two are get back in the saddle. You can figure out what that's about. And the last one is a word that I coined, which is womaninity. And basically, womaninity is to masculinity as Ms. is to Mr. And it's all about a fully evolved woman leading with the strengths of her own gender.
If you want to learn more about Ann Doyle or contact her, www.annwithane.com. Strategies also has an E. And if you Google courage and taking risks, your picture might pop up. You talked about your mom taught you the courage.
Yes.
Talk to us about courage and taking risks.
Well, I'm a big believer that leadership and those skills of taking risks and courage is a little bit like weightlifting. That, you know, you start with the small stuff and you start working your way up. And so you have to, every time there's an opportunity like that, to step out and just take a little bit of a risk when it's worth doing it. I really encourage you, because that's how you get the confidence that when big things are on the line, that you have the confidence to step forward. I'm also a huge believer in the importance of role models. I mentioned my mother. You know, you have to see other people, and particularly other people you can identify with. And that's why it's so important for women to see other women leading, you know, because when I was moving into the these positions, our only models pretty much were men. And we learned a lot from men. But the fact is, I can never lead in a way a man can lead. And so, you know, when you see somebody who you can identify with and you say, wow, that person is like me, and look at what she is doing. That's what gives you courage. And we know something really important, Jack, and that is that it usually takes women about 10 years longer than men to figure out how good they are. And I really want to speed up the process for the next girls and women coming up so it doesn't take them as long as it took my generation to figure out what we had to contribute.
Other than your mom, who were some of the women that really were mentors for you, Ann Doyle?
Well, my first role model of who I wanted to be was Annie Oakley. Do you know who Annie Oakley is? Annie Oakley was this famous cowgirl, American cowgirl in the West, and a sharpshooter. And so she was very, very important to me. I also would say contemporary people such as, Coretta Scott King and Hillary Clinton, Betty Friedan. I mean, all of those people who are very, very important, courageous. I'm a woman who came of age in the 70s, which was a very, very different time. You know, it was when the women's movement was, it was at its height. And it was, those were heady days. They were very heady days and very empowering to young women who just, wow, saw these incredible leaders and felt we could do anything.
I quote you. You say, one of my most popular speeches is entitled, "How to Win When You're In Over Your Head." That's the way I live, Ann Doyle.
Yeah, it's a great way to live, isn't it?
How to win when you're in over your head, please.
Well, that I guess that gets back to courage, I mean, for sure. And it's also a little bit of this quality of called drink at dangerous waters, you know, because I want people to constantly get in over their heads, and I want people to constantly swim out to deeper water. And I'm a really big believer that, you know, if you are always in the shallow water or always in the comfortable water, you have no idea what you're capable of. And so a lot of times, I mean, when you're in over your head, those are the times you fail. But I also believe that, you know, there's kind of two kinds of moments. One are mirror moments, which are those times when you fail and it kind of reflects back to you. You're not ready. And then there's these other times when you get in over your head and you raise yourself up and you are springboarded to a higher level. And when you do throw yourself into these situations when you're over your head and you rise, it kicks you up to a much higher level than you'll ever be if you just stay where you're comfortable.
A lot of parents today want to give the kids everything that they never had, and they don't want the kids to suffer. You know, you go to these little t-ball games, the kid swings three times, doesn't come close, he's not out, he goes to first base. You know, everybody gets a trophy. That's crazy. Talk to us about the goodness of suffering and failing.
You know, for this book, Jack, I interviewed 125 formidable, incredible women, 100 of them from North America, 25 of them from all over the world. I have the most incredible stories. And they are full of examples of just like that. And one woman, Barbara Barrett, who was ambassador to Finland. I mean, this woman has done just about everything there is to do. And she grew up with an extremely difficult childhood. By the time she was 13 years old, she was supporting her family. And she said that she believes, and that there's research to show, that the tougher your childhood is, the more likely your adult years are going to be very successful. And whereas if your childhood is too easy, that you're going to really struggle more as an adult. So I'm completely with you on that, Jack. And, you know, I had a great childhood, but my parents didn't make it easy on us.
You give a lot of speeches. One of the speeches topics is defining moments, how outsiders can become outstanding insiders. Boy, that's your life. How can an outsider become an insider?
Well, I don't know how much time I have here, but there is an incredible story that I tell in my book, which people here in Detroit can relate to, which has to do with the Detroit Athletic Club and the Beavers, who are, you know, a group within the DAC who have lunch around the pool, and they play this game called basket brawl, and they invite people down to speak, and they're sitting there in their Speedos and their bathrobes. It's very much like going into a locker room to speak. And when I was just hired at Channel 2, they invited me with the rest of Five Star Sports to come down and speak. And basically, they had me for lunch that day. They openly mocked me. It was pretty ugly. But the end of that story is that a year later, when we were invited to come again, and Channel 2 said, "You probably don't have to go, Ann." I said, "No, no, I'm going back." But it was my father who told me exactly what I had to do in order to become an insider with those Beavers. And basically what he told me to do, I said, "Dad, I can't do that." But I did it because I trusted him. He had me get Ray Lane and Charlie Neal to throw me into the pool. And if they threw me into the pool, all my clothes on and everything, and there were Beavers diving into the pool to rescue me. And I finally, by the time I got out, they pushed me in a couple more times. I went into the locker room to get my wet clothes off. And I came back into that room with my underwear on and a bathrobe. And I walked back in there and they gave me a standing ovation. And that's how an outsider becomes an insider. Sometimes you have to make a fool of yourself. But my dad knew.
And Ann Doyle probably called her dad and said, "Dad, you got to buy me a new outfit after this." So, Ann Doyle, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Ann Doyle, and today she's a professional speaker and strategist and the author of the recently released Powering Up, which you can buy if you go to her website, www.annedoylestrategies.com. Ann, if there's a listener tonight that says, "Wow, spring is in the air, the days are getting longer, we've just set the clock ahead, and I've been in a rut, and as I listen to you, you've inspired me. I want to have a new beginning, but I'm afraid. How do I get out of this rut, Ann Doyle?"
You know, the very fact that someone knows they're in a rut, I think is the beginning. because I always think that I don't know if it's God or whatever you want to say about it, you know, the forces in the world, but it's sometimes I say, how uncomfortable do I have to make you in that present situation for you to understand it's time to move on? And so when things start going really badly, whether you're bored because you're in a rut or you're just very, very uncomfortable there, that's the time to listen. And that's the time, you know, to pay attention and to realize it's time for you to move on. And so I believe courage is huge. And I've gone through some very, very difficult transitions in my life, tough days. But every single time I took the risk, not knowing what was ahead, and went through those transitions, I always came out stronger on the other end and with doors opening I could never, ever have imagined. And so I always tell people, take a risk, go for it.
We're talking Ann Doyle, and in 1979 she became one of the first female TV sports broadcasters in America. Then 13-year career at Ford, where she becomes the highest-ranked woman in global public affairs at the time. Now, author, strategist, speaker, you truly live that success is a journey, not a destination. Ann Doyle, what drives you to keep succeeding?
Well, my book is dedicated to my sister Mary, and not many people know this about me. But when I was 25 years old, my sister Mary committed suicide. And, you know, it wasn't really until years later that I figured out that my sister Mary is the fire in my belly. She is the reason that I have unlimited energy to do everything I can in my lifetime, not just for my ambition. I'm ambitious, but it's always been more than that that really drove me. I know my purpose. My purpose has always been to do everything I could to push the edges of possibility for girls and women in the world, because I saw my sister, fantastic 22-year-old young woman. Now, what happened? Well, that was depression and, let's say, a first romance with the wrong guy. But to have an incredible young woman, you know, give up on herself before she had any clue how magical she was something that you never get over, of course. And I know that what I did was, at one point I had a therapist say to me, "Ann, you have to stop avenging your sister." And it's not avenging anymore, but I understand very clearly that it's love and Mary throughout every step I have ever taken. My sister Mary has been with me.
You're still young, Ann Doyle. What dreams and or goals do you still have?
Well, my biggest goal right now is to get my son launched well. And I feel pretty good about that, but I'm not going to go off anywhere else until I really know that he's on very, very solid ground. I've got his back, and my parents had my back, and I've got his, and so that's my biggest thing. But also, you know, I serve on the Auburn Hills City Council. I love that community. It's a fantastic community. I know I can make a contribution there. And finally, I really hope to go back and live in Spain again. I lived in Spain. I attended the University of Madrid when I was my junior year. My Spanish is pretty good, but it's not what I want it to be. And I don't be surprised if you see me picking up one of these days and heading back to Spain.
Let's go back to April 14th, 2007. You're in East Lansing, and you're inducted into the Michigan Journalism Hall of Fame. When you put your head on that pillow that night, what'd you tell your mom and what'd you tell your dad?
You're going to have me cry before this is over. I can just tell. You know, my mom and dad are in me. They are with me. They are in me. And I guess I just said thank you.
And they're very proud of you. So you've just written this book, Powering Up, and now it's released. talk to us, what's a person's life like when they release a book that they've just authored?
Well, I think if you asked my son, Kevin, who has watched me working on this book for the last 3 years, he might tell you a whole different story. He said at one point, yeah, after you get that book done, I'm going to write the rest of the story. And but writing a book, Jack, is very lonely work. And it's certainly not a way to make money, but it's very lonely work. But it is an incredible feeling to finally get it done, and then in some ways it's kind of like birthing a baby. But the gestation is pretty long, and that sense of hoping that people will like it, but also hoping that the time that you've put into it was worth it. That I really wanted to move the conversation forward. You know, not to write just sort of, this is not a memoir. My stories are in there, but my goal was to move the conversation forward, and I believe I am doing that.
Ann Doyle, what athlete do you most admire and why?
Wow, there are a lot of athletes that that I admire, and let me just say C. Vivian Stringer. You know, the Rutgers coach. Do you remember the woman, she's the basketball coach who, when Don Imus called her players nappy-headed hoes on his program after they were in the championship game, NCAA championship game, she showed incredible leadership, and she taught her players how to be leaders by standing up to Don Imus. And I had tremendous respect for what she did as a leader herself and what she did in terms of developing those young women and giving them a great experience. So I love athletes, men and women, because it teaches people how to take risks, to get back up after defeats, and to fight.
Ann Doyle, a true pioneer for women's equality. You got a golden future. Your greatest days are still ahead. Thanks for being on the show. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Believe in yourself.